sustaining alive, sustaining alive. Sustaining Alive on 95BFM.
Hello, Rita.
Kia ora.
Welcome.
So beautiful out there.
Isn't it just like, just like that? It's funny, like the veil is lifted over everyone's vibes and it's nearly summer kind of thing.
Yeah. We're getting out of barbecues.
And we're talking about environment stuff on the radio.
Yeah,
and
we are. We are talking about climate change because...
Classic.
If you haven't seen today's news, you will see it, I'm sure, because it's inundating news feeds everywhere.
Okay.
The IPCC have come out with their newest report on climate change.
Right.
And it's pretty bleak.
Okay.
It's not great.
They're saying climate change is good thing or bad thing, generally?
Well, there are some people that think it's good. If you wanted to grow mangoes in Auckland.
If your house is maybe like 2 kilometres from the beach at the moment, you might be pumped about that.
Yeah, could be.
That's not funny.
It's definitely not funny for people that do live by the coast.
No, there's actual fucking islands getting wiped out.
Yeah, right. there are. So I'll quickly give you a little bit of a rundown on what IPCC is.
IPCC?
Yeah, exactly. And the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. And they sit under the UN. And they have been around since 1988.
Okay.
To try and solve the global... Actually, the whole point of them is to give an objective view, scientific view of climate change. It's
a
really
lot of people like, no, it's not. And other people are like, yes, it is. Look at the thing.
Yeah, yeah, totally. So, you know, they do give an objective scientific view and then kind of leave it up to the masses to do something about, which has
They don't sugarcoat it or anything. It's just the facts.
Well, arguably... Yeah, it is just the facts.
So they talk about... do they talk about population as one of the problems, or does that get a mention at all in this report?
No, it's more
always,
things.
Always I mean, find it does. That very it, interesting.
It does, and that they'll mention. Say, you know, the coast is becoming more populated, so it's going to have greater impact when
less people, less emissions.
Yeah, they don't also give. They do give some solutions, but they're not like ones that might be put. Too political, like we discussed a few weeks ago. Yeah. If that's what you're.
It's just it all correlates big time, and nobody seems to want to admit it on the world stage. It's really strange.
According to the IPCC, Rita, what are the facts?
So, what are the facts? So, the report. I am going to just step back a little bit and give a bit of a history because I think people may think that climate change and the concept of climate change is pretty new. So I'm just going to take a step back and just go that we have known about this problem since about the mid 1800s.
It's not the fact that the climate's changing. It always changes in like cycles. It's the fact that it's doing it so gnarly right now.
Yeah, it's happening so quickly. Mm. So basically, I'm not a physicist, but
No, I'm not.
Oh, I'm not. Fuck. So yeah, I know you might need to.
You lied on your CV.
You might need to get someone to come in and explain the second law of thermodynamics. But basically, that was discovered about the 1800s. And at the same time, the greenhouse effect was a theory.
Mm.
But the first calculations were done in 1896 that showed that, you burn fossil fuels, you take them out of the ground and put them into the atmosphere and you will warm the atmosphere. And that was done in 1896. So they've
back
talked,
in the day, yeah.
Yeah, they talked about it way back then and it was pretty, those calculations were pretty well accepted. But for some reason, we kind of went through this dark period where scientists went, but why don't we have a look at like sunspots and sun flares and see whether that's got something to do with the climate. And they were kind of onto something because during that process they did discover the Milankovitch cycles, which is basically like, you know, how far the Earth is from the sun does semi-time affect the climate. And so we do see these cycles depending on where the planet is and its orbit and its rotation and that kind of thing. So there is some work there, but it kind of distracted us for about 60 years because in the meantime we're like heating up the planet. And so in the 50s and 60s real work started being done around this where they said, okay, well, you know, let's go back to that original idea that we're taking stuff out of the ground and burning it and putting it into the atmosphere. And it was at that point that there was a realization that because they could drill really deep into the ocean and at that point they realized that we can actually flip our atmosphere, from a stable atmosphere to one that they call a not stable atmosphere, which is really funny.
Not unstable?
Yeah, yeah. So this is when you said the sugar coater. And sometimes I think the words that scientists use make us feel a bit safer than we probably are. Because I think if somebody said, like, you can fuck your atmosphere and we could end up like Mars, maybe we might do something about it, you know? But a not stable atmosphere sounds like, oh, my mum does that every fortnight, so that's all right, you know? Yeah, it's majorly problematic. And then in 1968, Stanford Research Institute and the American Petroleum Institute found that, and I'm going to quote them, man is now engaged in a vast geophysical experiment with his environment. So, you know, so this is 1968, and then we still just went, you know what, let's just sit on our hands.
Right.
That's great. Let's keep experimenting.
Space race.
In 1969, so a year after that that research came out, and it actually said in that paper that the Petroleum Institute did, that we would be changing the climate by 2000. So they were right back then. Mm. And so a year later, NATO went, maybe we should do something about this on a global level. And that's when we really started to act. So in the 70s, we did a lot more work around the science. The science became very much so entrenched, and the methods became entrenched. And then in the 80s onwards, we had consensus. So that's when we got 1988 IPCC. The UN went, okay, we have to do something about this.
Yeah, because it was all kind of... full steam ahead till up to basically the late 80s, right?
And at that point we really did have
a lot of coke and a lot of don't give a fuck about anything and just everything, steam ahead.
Yeah, but I think that there was also this small period where we really could have made some major changes to the economy, because there was like changes happening anyway and big stock market crashes and stuff. So we could have actually shifted the economy at that point, because there was, you know, at that point it felt like there was more... I don't know. I just think maybe they were a bit wishy-washy and then went, well, let's get everyone involved. Let's talk about it a little bit more.
It's just not enough money to be made off something when it's a new idea like that. So there's too much change for people to, you know what I mean? The old cycle's like, we're making good money this way though, so shut up.
Yeah, totally, totally. And I think people do get scared of change, right? Mm-hmm. So, and since then there's
Are we taking phone calls, Rita? Sorry.
Oh, we're very early into this, but...
No, hello? Are you just... Sorry, it's a really long swear word. I'm going to have to...
there has just been a lot of talk ever since. So the IPCC is tasked with giving us a report every 5 or 6 years. And this one is particularly important because... up until now, there's sort of been this feeling that we could increase the average temperature by about 1.5 degrees. That's kind of, okay, we could do that safely. Any more than that, and it's not a good idea. Mm. So we've kind of been working to, like, okay, 1.5, you know, let's try not to get there, but maybe, you know. And now this report's come out, and they've gone, 1.5 is not a good idea. So they've really started to realise that 1.5 is actually going to unleash a shitstorm on us. And I think what you've got to remember is that average temperature, because I love summer. So I'm like, an average 1.5 sounds great, you know. But when what you've got to think about averages is that that's average global temperature is 15 degrees. So
is that right?
Yeah. Okay. So and you've got to think about the fact that we have... evolved as a society and as a civilization under pretty stable climatic conditions. Our food, our everything, our systems work best at the temperatures that the planet is currently at. So any increase, and we're talking about completely re-engineering kind of everything, aeroplanes, shipping,
who's on board, like, with this report? All the countries, like, because America's kind of like, we're just caring about America at the moment, fuck the UN and everything, we don't care. That's kind of the problem, mate. No
this
one really listens problem. To these reports.
This is 100% you know, like, no one, the problem. America's
there's not enough
pulling
ownership
out.
Of everyone, eh?
Australia, which has got huge coal resources, they're going... jobs, even though, you know, declining jobs from coal, and actually really low paid jobs too. So, and also jobs, if we don't have an environment and we can't breathe, it's probably not so. We're all wildfires.
I thought the idea of the future is to, like, have everything so automated and awesome that we don't not supposed to have jobs, right? Everyone's supposed to do it for me, and it's meant.
I think, like, they thought too, it's like, well, it's not going to happen until 2000, and then now it's like, well, that's here.
Yeah.
And we won't deal with it.
Until very short-sighted.
Totally. Yeah. And that's the other thing that this report has said is we've kind of also been working to this like 2100, which I don't know what's wrong with us as a species. We can't seem to like fathom that. I'm like, 2000, like that's ages away, like whatever. We're not very good at understanding, you know, time, but they're actually saying that this is probably more likely to be bang on 2040. And all the science that I have read, and there's a lot of scientists out there that think that, so what these guys do is they tend to take the average of the report. Yes. So they won't take the low end, they won't take the high end, they kind of take, okay, cool, this kind of seems about right, so, sort of somewhere in the middle. And there's a lot of scientists that go, actually, we're on track for 6 degrees of warming, which is basically Mars. Hello, Mars. Like, you know, we will completely be gone by the end of the century if that's the case. So there are people out there, and I don't know, maybe that is too extreme, but what worries me is there's a big difference between 1.5 and 6 degrees. Mm. So I kind of think if we, you know, if it comes down to precautionary, maybe we should be more precautionary about these things. Yeah. Because
I'm just thinking about the ocean getting 6 degrees warmer and everything dying.
Yeah, it's also just not the type of thing you can procrastinate on, because it's going to take as long to shift it as it is to, you know what I mean? So it's not like, oh no, we'll just start now. We'll do it like right, we'll cram for this test at the end. It's
So carbon,
going to the beach and picking up a bit of plastic when it's fucked is just...
It's just...
When the water's full of microbeads and stuff.
But you're totally right as well. Like carbon takes a long time to actually have an impact. And so they say that the carbon that is heating our atmosphere now was probably released 50 to 100 years ago. So we haven't had peak.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So,
oh, man, that's actually fucking scary, by the way.
Exactly. So carbon lasts a long time in the atmosphere, but the one that is more instant is actually methane. So methane has a longer life. I think it's between 12 and 25 years, I think it lasts, but it heats up a lot more.
Right.
So what we could do is cut back on our methane emissions in the short term to buy ourselves some time to shift out from our carbon kind of obsession. So, there is some solutions, but it is going to take a massive, and this is what this report's saying, it's like we have to turn our economies around almost overnight.
Mm.
And that's scary for people, but we did it once. We've done it in times of war. You know, we've gone from having normal societies to having to turn everything around and start making, you know, sacks of rice or whatever it is that, you know, we sent to war. We have shifted our economies overnight.
Right.
We can do it again.
Right on, Rita. I fucking hope so.
Rita Ray of Hope Steel.
I hope so too. Yes, so I think that's kind of everything that I'm here to say. Oh, no, you know what? If you do want to do something, if you're feeling a little bit, Johnny's not here, so we're not as depressed as we normally would be. But there is, if you Google the Crown Minerals Petroleum Amendment Bill New Zealand, that's a bit of a mouthful. You can submit. There's 3 days left. Basically, you may know that the government shut down any more exploration of oil in New Zealand. And
they've got to fulfill the contracts that they're still
which
are like 50 years deep.
Yeah. So there's still, for those people, there's still going to be work for the next 30 years or whatever, which is interesting because a lot of industries that we all work in don't have 30-year lifespans. But so the reason that we need to stop this is because we have to keep... IPCC have said that we have to keep 80% of all known fossil fuels in the ground to stay under... the threshold.
I was going to say threshold. That's,
yeah,
that's
a good word, eh? So if we already know about these and we have to keep 80%, why the hell are we looking for more? And I did a little bit of research because I know you're into direct air capture, which is the...
Yeah, the good gas, this gas option. I mean, it's early stages, but it looks like it could be an option.
Yeah, so they are saying in this report that we pretty much are going to have to resort to some sort of air capture, so taking carbon out of the atmosphere and burying it again.
Filtering our own air, everyone, basically. And taking the tweaked out stuff out and seeing if we can use that tweaked out stuff for something.
Well,
for good.
If we want to help climate change, we have to bury it.
Okay.
So at the moment, we're looking at about $600 a ton per ton of carbon.
Mm-hmm.
That's how much it takes to pull it out. Just to give you some context, the carbon credit. So if you own some forestry, the carbon price at the moment is $25 a ton. So it is significantly more expensive at the moment to be capturing it than it is to get a tree to do it for us. But they think they can get it down to about $100 a ton, which still, by the way, is much better than, you know, than doing nothing at all.
Right.
And it won't be a solution for all of our carbon, but maybe we can use it because we're cutting down so much forest and it takes so long to grow a tree. It might be a stopgap in between.
Right.
But that is also my little advice for anyone wanting to invest in something. Native forestry, find yourself a piece of land, plant some trees, get some carbon credits. Because at the moment, like
carbon
I say,
credits like the next cryptocurrency.
You heard it here first. But at the moment, $25 a tonne. The IPCC...
Bloody bargain.
No.
What a bloody bargain.
IPCC are saying that it has to get to
$250. What does IPCC stand for once more?
Intergovernmental Panel for Climate Change. I get stuck on the intergovernmental. They're just out... They're all mental. That just doesn't sound right, man. They're saying that it has to get to it has to get to $250 a tonne. Mm. And now they're saying in this report that it probably needs to be more like $2,700 a tonne. So I'm saying that even if you double your money, you're doing well there.
Right on. No, hot tip.
Hey,
Rita, we do appreciate all the work you go to and so much research. Listeners, you don't see, but she's got a notebook there with
fantastic handwriting, and it's full of that handwriting.
Yes, and I've actually had someone reach out to me about some facts from last week. I will start posting some sources up on the Drive page.
Nice one.
You can reach out and ask me questions.
The podcasts are up there as well if you go to 95bfm.com and just check out Drive with Johnny Big Hungry. There's podcasts and all that sort of situation, iTunes and all that. So
exciting.
In your own sweet time, you can weep.
No, look, hey, we're here to just tell you what's up. That's what the segment's all about.
But actually, I'm actually keen to leave the last word to Apocalypse Man. He kind of wrapped it up quite well.
Okay.
The planet is being destroyed all around us. Using money to try to address that problem, it's shooting yourself in the foot. Evolve or perish, grow up or die. An entirely new level of human consciousness is needed right now, or we're all dead. Mankind openly descends into a world of bloodshed without end. Dog eat dog until everything is killed and the last man commits suicide or is poisoned, having all the toys and they mean nothing. When you believe you're already dead and you got nothing to live for, you fight better than you've ever fought in your life. When your back's to the wall, that's the only time when humans actually choose to evolve, at the moment of death, at the moment when we face our destruction. That's when the greatest leaps in human consciousness and the leaps of human heart take place.
That was Sustaining Alive on 95.